Oops.
Okay, we're recording. Hey everybody, welcome back to Broken to Barbell. As always, this is Tanner.
And this is Sam.
And this is Carly.
And today we have a very special guest with us. Special guest, who are you?
Hello, my name is Katie Vicini. I'm a dietitian.
Nice to meet you. For those who don't know, Katie's a dietitian. We just ate an entire pizza in front of her. So
Tanner and I literally had 3 pieces each. I'm not proud.
And garlic knots.
Yes.
So thanks for doing that.
For being
yeah.
you.
Yeah. You're thanks so for welcome. Being you. Yeah.
All the support.
So tell us about yourself, Katie.
Oh, geez. So, yeah, like I said, I'm a dietitian. I work at Children's Hospital. So I do a lot of pediatric care. I've been a dietitian now for 3 years, and I really enjoy it. I think there's a lot of different aspects to it. But the main group that I work with right now are cystic fibrosis patients. So if you don't know anything about that, cystic fibrosis is a disease that affects your lungs and GI tract. And most of the patients have a lot of very difficult complications, and nutrition plays a huge role in both their lung health and like their overall longevity. So it can be a really rewarding and, you know, kind of sad job sometimes, but yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
So what's the number one requested food?
For CF patients. Mm-hmm. So part of their disease, they have a component of malabsorption, meaning they don't quite digest and absorb their nutrients like they should. Their pancreas doesn't secrete enzymes, so they're really not able to absorb really anything that they eat. So the first thing they have to do is take oral pancreatic enzyme replacements, and then they have to eat like a very high fat diet.
Oh, wow.
So we try to do like healthy fats and things like that, but a lot of the times people just take the high fat as like going to McDonald's and like pounding cheeseburgers. And well, that's all fine. Like, it's probably like the high fat is definitely the biggest piece.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I obviously don't know anything about that. So that's interesting.
It's a pretty complex disease, but it's cool. Like, I like it a lot.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Oh, wow. Yeah. You did stream of consciousness.
Yeah. I went in there.
So tell us about, let's go background. So how did all this start?
So I decided that I wanted to go into nutrition probably in high school. I was always really interested in it. My mom was always a very health conscious person. And I just thought it was something I'd be able to do to like help other people. So really like that's kind of why I wanted to become a dietitian. I knew I didn't want to be a nurse or a doctor because I never really thought of myself as being like super smart to do either one of those things. But yeah, mostly just to help people. A little like side note about myself is that I had an eating disorder for several years that was kind of really difficult to deal with. And I think part of my studying nutrition really helped me get through that. Just, you know, gaining knowledge of how that was really unhealthy for me and things like that. But I think there's a lot of people out there too that still, you know, have those feelings and are still receiving all of these negative messages about themselves and their body. And unfortunately, like there are so many there's so much false information out there regarding nutrition that a lot of people just kind of pick what they can and kind of run with it.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, while I'm doing like cystic fibrosis now, I would really love to do like private counseling and like eating disorders and things like that in the future. But I'm kind of getting off topic there. So,
you were saying, okay, so people are inundated with these messages about weight loss. Is there something out there that you see constantly over and over that's totally false? It's like one of the biggest ones. Is there something like all the time that you're like, that's wrong, and people always repeat it?
Yeah, and really I think it comes down to just these crazy diets that drive me absolutely insane. You know, there comes a point in time where I think it's great that people are trying to better themselves and they want to get healthier, but I think sometimes we're doing it for the wrong reasons and things. That like some buzzwords are like the keto diet or like intermittent fasting, which while like some of those things can be really good, if you don't fully understand their purpose and the use of them, it's really not healthy. It's not a sustainable long-term thing. So these super serious like crash diets are really kind of what trigger me. That's my trigger.
I know. I get a lot of like pushback when I kind of talk shit on keto. And I'm not a registered dietitian. I'm only going off of people can't follow that for a long time. So when when you're trying it out, you're doing it to lose a bunch of weight. And then unfortunately, it's probably all going to come back. But like people don't like when I talk shit on keto because it's such like a big thing right now.
Keto is so in right now. Keto is hot right now. Keto is so hot. And I hate it.
Yeah.
You know, like Mugatu, like keto is so hot right now.
So what does the word diet mean to you?
So kind of like I already said, I think, you know, when I think of diets, I think of restriction. Like if I'm doing a diet, I'm not allowing myself to eat certain things or I'm eating kind of outside of my norm. And a lot of the time I think with diets, we think of like limiting like carbs or limiting fat or, you know, only eating at like certain times of the day or only eating like certain portion sizes of food. So I think for me, it's mostly just like restriction of different things, but what do you guys think of? Like, is that kind of on par?
Yeah, I think that's why when I, like, in this contest prep that I'm in, I really, whenever I talk about it, I don't, like, say that I'm dieting. I mean, obviously, my calories are getting lower and lower, but I have not cut out, like, a certain thing this entire time. Like, I had some Funyuns yesterday. I just had a piece of pizza. Like, it's not, I'm not, like, eating chicken and rice only forever. Yeah. So, like, I don't like to say diet. Yeah.
Well, yeah, in this scenario, too, you had a piece of pizza and Carly and I had three. Oops. It's a little bit different because what do you think a calorie count is on that? Like, 300, 400 calories on one piece of pizza? Not what me and Carly ate.
I think depending on the size, like, probably 300.
I feel like that's probably ballparky, roughly correct, but yeah. I don't know that for a fact. But, diets for me, I mean, yes, the traditional diet is, oh, I'm on a diet, you know, but then also I work for Highmark. And so there's a lot of wellness things coming at me as an employee, you know, like wellness initiatives for that. So you just kind of start to hear it that way. And we did a video with a woman who mentions, I say to people, I'm not on a diet. I change the way that I'm eating.
Yeah.
And so that's, they would always ask, what diet are you on? She's like, I'm not on a diet. I'm changing the way I eat. And, you know, when I'm doing really good, I'm doing really good. And usually right now, the winter time, I'm doing absolutely terrible. Like, it's just a whole thing. And like, so that's like the second definition of diet for me is like, what is in my diet as a whole? You know, as a human, my human diet is like, hey, maybe I shouldn't drink, you know, pop with a ton of sugar in it. And when I first lost a lot of weight, cutting out pop was one of the biggest things right off the bat. That's all that extra sugar, you know, and all the extra calories, you know, that is gone in an instant because it's sugar, you know. So what's your definition, Carly?
Well, with powerlifting, if I'm in a meet prep, I have to dial everything in and follow my really strict diet. I call it a diet.
I mean, it
meal plan, I guess.
I get snaps of chicken and rice and broccoli constantly.
Yes. So for my first meet, I did cut out pizza, and then I was like super restrictive about other things. Like I was like, oh, I'm not gonna have coffee, but I had like no reason to cut out coffee. Like my nutritionist was like, you can still drink coffee, and I'm like, nah, I'm gonna cut it out. So there was just like no reason behind it, but I need to reel it in now. As you can see, I just ate three pieces of pizza.
Well, that's where I'm at too. It's like, okay, the weather's getting nice this weekend and it's gonna kind of stay nice now. I think you know, of course, out it's Pennsylvania, that we're gonna have another cold snap, I just assume.
Yeah,
but
everyone always says like, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle change. Like that's like the number one thing. And I'm like, yeah, it is a lifestyle change to switch to eating like chicken and rice for every meal. But then I'm like, I still like cake and pizza.
Yeah.
So like, it's like finding that balance and when I can fit in cheats and whatnot.
And I think that's a big, you know, a big part of it too, is that like you said, like when you're doing like your prep for, you know, your meats and things like that, like I think when it's coming from a good place and there are certain things like as an athlete, like you have to follow and you have to do in order to be successful in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's perfectly okay. I think when people take it to a harmful place, that's kind of when it starts to lose its value. And kind of like you said, as long as, you know, most of the time you're trying to, you know, maybe add more fruits and vegetables into your diet, that's great. Or maybe you're switching to whole grains instead of doing, you know, white bread. That's great too. Maybe drinking less soda. That's great. But when it's like constant all the time, it's the only thing you can think about. I think that's when it starts to become an issue.
Start to be, yeah. I saw that you put down in here too about the military diet.
Yeah.
I tried to do that in 2012 or something like that, a long time ago. It was the worst 3 days of my entire life.
What can you tell? Like, isn't it like 12 bananas or like a bag of green beans? Like it's something ridiculous.
I just looked at
it
the other day. It's like one cup of coffee, a piece of toast, and a hard boiled egg for breakfast.
That one, yeah,
then
that's
it
what
goes
I did.
To like you get an orange, something else.
You're awarded. You're awarded an orange.
Yeah, it's like you get like three things for three meals, and yeah. That's it. And they're very small things, like a piece of toast, two hard boiled eggs.
No, it was terrible. And now, in the more I've learned, I'm like, that's horrible. Like,
yeah,
I was on a diet from this guy online who I'm not going to say because I wasn't super impressed with it. But I was eating like 3,000 some calories a day or something. But then I was doing cardio twice a day too. So in his whole thing was like cutting and adding muscle. So
sure.
I think it made sense. I don't know. Yeah. I was no professional, but yeah, I was just like, okay, obviously you got to feed your body a lot of food and then do the work is kind of what I've gathered over the years, you know? So the military diet where you eat nothing, I was like, how is this really the military diet? Like, how do these guys go out and like run miles with toast, coffee, and a hard boiled egg and not die?
Just makes me sad to think about.
I feel like it's just some person made it up on the internet.
Yeah.
But
put it on Pinterest.
The funny thing about that is you restrict yourself for those 3 days, and then the rest of the 3 days, it's kind of like, well, whatever. Or the, four days? Yeah, it's kind of like,
you can do whatever on those 4 days.
It doesn't matter. But yeah, because you didn't eat any food for 3 days, and now you can eat the food you've been missing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's I need to go and speaking of, I need to go and just buy like big bags of like apples and I love pears.
Shout out to all the pears.
Grapes. Like, and that's easy for me because I can't buy snacks because then I eat them. Yeah. I mean, who would have thought?
Same.
But so I don't buy them, but I need to buy more stuff like that. So then I can snack, but it's, you know, an apple.
You have like some, different options.
And not apple flavored fruit snacks.
Which are delicious.
They are. Especially the Aldi ones.
Oh, so good.
Love the Aldi's fruit snacks.
I hate fruit snacks.
I'm angry at Aldi's right now, but we can talk about that another day.
So.
Why? Why are you angry with them?
Because they changed their shredded hash browns formula. And now.
The formula?
Now on the bag, you have to cook half the bag for it to be like, for it to like turn out good.
Oh, no.
And you have to basically deep fry it. And I'm upset about it because I used to eat those every single day.
I'm sorry they changed their secret formula.
I know. I agree.
I just didn't hear. Is this the cut of potato?
I've talked about
hash browns. Yes.
I might do a whole YouTube video on it. Honestly,
please do like a true crime. Like I have been swindled. I was poisoned. My story.
I thought like the Aldi and Clarion was closed or something. Not the hash browns.
No,
that's what I thought you were reading.
She's like, no, it's just the potato.
Can you tell us a little bit about your is it basal metabolic rate?
Basal.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think one of the questions I think as a dietitian or just in general that people have a lot is how many calories that their body needs. And it really totally depends on a lot of different factors. But your basal metabolic rate is the amount of calories your body needs at rest. Like if you were to just be laying like all day long, like what your body would need to keep functioning. Like,
just to operate for one day.
Just for your organs to work. So to do it perfectly, they have this device that's called an indirect calorimeter. So it's indirect calorimetry, and you breathe into it and it measures, I'm going to get this wrong, so I have to look down. It measures the amount of oxygen you use and the carbon dioxide released by your body. So basically you breathe into this device for like 5 to 10 minutes and then it goes and then the numbers pop up on the device that tell you how many calories you need.
So it's measuring oxygen levels.
Right.
Interesting. Right.
And carbon dioxide. Yeah.
So is that something like only your doctor can do?
So they do have them, like you can buy them, but they're super expensive. But you could ask, like they have other things like body gem calculators too that kind of do the same thing. Like that's an indirect calorimeter and it's not quite as expensive. But that kind of pops up. So I did it in college. And granted, I wasn't in the best place nutritionally or, you know, had the best relationship with my body. So my weight was a little lower. And even at that time, it said that at rest, I needed about like 1,400 calories.
So that's just to lay in a bed for a day.
Just to lay in a bed all day. So like, how many diets have you seen that say to restrict to like 1,200 calories?
Oh, yeah. Like a 1,000 calorie. Yeah.
All of them. All of them. And especially if you're exercising too, like that's nothing to go off of. Like I could eat 1,200 calories in like breakfast and a half. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I think, so you take your basal metabolic rate, which is, like I said, is what you need at rest. And you kind of you can multiply it. There is an equation out there called Mifflin-St-Cyr. If you look it up, you can just type it into Google. And it's this whole long equation that takes into account like your height, your weight, all these other factors, which will give you your BMR. And if you multiply it by 1.1 for sedentary activity up to 1.4 for how active you are, that'll kind of give you like a rough idea of what your body needs. Obviously, if you're doing like a ton of exercise, you might even go a little bit beyond that. But like I said, it's more or less just an estimate. So a lot of the time, like for me, I need almost 2,300 calories a day when I run.
Oh,
up to like 2,500 when I'm like really super into running. And that's not like you wouldn't expect to eat, like, because most diets tell you you can't have more than 1,400-1,500 calories to look like, you know, whoever's out there. But
Again, from no expert, but if you're restricting your calories and you're running like you are,
right,
doesn't your body, the second you get, is it fat or sugar or something, it converts it to fat because it's trying to save it because it thinks you're
starving.
As an animal, a hunter-gatherer, it thinks you're not going to get food for a while. So
right, because our bodies don't know the difference between starvation and dieting. Right? Like, we're not that fine-tuned that we know when we're doing this. So if you starve yourself for so long, and obviously you're not even going to have the energy, especially with, you know, cardiovascular activity, to keep having glycogen to supply your muscles with energy, so you're just going to tank and bottom out eventually.
Mm-hmm.
It's no way to want to live your life by any means. But yeah, you do. You take, you know, things and you store them, and that makes it even harder in the long term, especially on your metabolism, to end up losing that weight if you feel like, you know, you're in a place where you have to.
That's, yeah, the thing I was doing, it was like 4 eggs in the morning, which mm-hmm. is just, and probably everyone's thing, that's so much food in the morning, 4 yeah. eggs. And it's just, that was the hardest part about being on that food program that I was on, because it was just like having to eat all this stuff in the morning. Plus it was like half a green bell pepper, half an onion, all this shit that went into it. And it was just like, oh my God, I need half yeah. of it, and I take the other half to work and finish it. Yeah. Like, that's how much food it was. So, you were saying earlier that you had an eating disorder when you were younger. Was that yep. an obsession with food? Like, in just kind of, was it self-made? Like, you decided what was good, what was bad?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really hard to pinpoint exactly like what set me off with it, but it probably started when I was in high school. So I was around 16, and just becoming like more conscious of your body, I think, as a teenage girl, and there's just so much pressure, you know, out there, especially in like the media, for girls to look a certain way, that I was just kind of like, okay, well, if I maybe change some things here and there, like then maybe I'll be able to lose some weight. Maybe I'll finally like feel comfortable. So I think it kind of started in that aspect. And then I really started to restrict anything that was bad, that had sugar, that had fat. I ate like all sugar-free, like puddings, like cereals, like jello, like anything you can think of that was sugar-free I was eating, because I thought that was better. And yeah. obviously all those things are low calorie. And I, like I said, I was just like super, super restrictive, to the point where I really, like, I ate vegetables, I ate chicken, I wasn't eating carbs for years, probably, honestly, for probably like 6 or 7 years, so into my 20s. So it was a long time. But, you know, with, I think, that restriction and that obsession with things, like, I was also weighing myself like 5 to 6 times a day, even though your weight obviously changes throughout the day as you eat and you drink things. Like, you're going to weigh more at the end of the day than you did at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't, like, I didn't have ice cream. I didn't have pizza. I didn't have French fries. I didn't have anything that was joyous or wonderful in the world.
Halo Top.
And it's, shout out to Halo Top. I actually do like Halo Top for real. Halo Top is good. I don't care what anyone says. I know it's like a diet ice cream, but I still think it's delicious.
It just has the best flavors. They like, that's what I like flavors. About it.
The pistachio one is lit. I love pistachio.
I didn't know about that one. I'm going to have to try that one.
I like birthday cake.
Cookie dough birthday cake. That's a good one. So good. I love them all.
Is there a chocolate banana one?
I think so.
Love that one.
Yeah. Chocolate almond. I love them all. I could be a rep for Halo Top. Shout out if you need me. I'm here. yeah, but it's just like, I think, you know, having that issue and being so restrictive, like that once you fail, and maybe I did eat pizza because everybody was eating pizza and I didn't want to look suspicious. Like I would go home and I would cry. I would cry hysterically and maybe I would like purge or maybe I would do this, but it's so like mentally deteriorating. And I think, you know, if anyone's like in that place or you feel like there's no way out, like you just need like you need to talk to somebody about it and get some help, because that's not normal.
One of our past interviewees, she was a friend of ours from high school. I think we interviewed her a couple years ago, Katie Quayle. And she also does a podcast with Sam. Exactly what is it?
What the fuck do we know?
Okay, is that how you would find it? Okay, all right. I didn't want to say it wrong.
She's like, that is the title.
I didn't want to say WTF would we know.
It can be under it both.
Okay.
It will show up.
Okay, cool. But she said the same thing. She would do things to fit in and then go home and walk on the treadmill for 3 hours if she had to work off that amount, you know?
Yeah, excessive exercise too. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I relate.
And you say here that you even suffered multiple stress fractures in your feet.
Yes. Yeah, because I was running a ton. I was running like 6 to 7 miles every day. Of course, I would take like a day off here and there, but not really, because that would mean I wouldn't be able to eat like my allotted amount of calories for the day if I didn't exercise. So
it only worked in these boxes have to be checked before XYZ.
Yeah, yeah. Exercise played a huge part in it for me too. And I did, like my body just wasn't able to keep up, and I got stretched back, fractures in my feet and my shins, and it was just all, really bad.
So what started to make things change for you?
I think for me, like I mentioned briefly earlier, I think starting to study nutrition, because this happened well into my sophomore year of college, into my junior year even. Like once I started to get down to it and reading more about it and just how, you know, unhealthy really it was what I was doing, and different support from my family and friends that, you know, it didn't have to be this way. I think that really helped me begin to change my mind about certain things, and I would start slowly like eating certain things, or maybe I would take that rest day if I needed it. And I noticed honestly when I started doing all of that nothing in my body like changed. Like I wasn't like I didn't suddenly blow up because I ate French fries with my dinner the night before, or like things that I thought would have been the end of the world, like it didn't end up being that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, that was a huge turning point, because I was so afraid to eat certain things or not work out. And it just like all started to make sense. Like I don't have to be punishing myself and restricting all of these things, and I can still live my life and eat the foods that I like while trying to maintain, you know, like a healthy diet and eating tons of veggies and fruits and water. And it just, just kind of all made sense.
So the knowledge of learning those things kind of really changed your mind. Not changed your mind, but just you knew more about it. So it's like, that doesn't make sense now that I know about it, kind of thing.
And the support too. And I think I eventually became so comfortable like talking about it with other people in my family and like some friends that, you know, this is what's going on. And they were all like, we kind of always knew, but there's really nothing you can do for people. Like if I wasn't ready to change, nothing they could have done would have made me change my mind.
Yeah.
But I think allowing yourself to talk about it and be open about it, as with any type of, you know, mental health, you know, issue that you have, like you just have to be willing to talk and share. And there is like help from other people out there. So.
Yeah. Were there any resources that outside of your education, were there any resources that you looked to for support as you started to learn more about it and kind of come out of that?
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't go to any like type of counseling or anything. Looking back, I probably should have, and I still think about doing it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But no, mostly just like through my family, my own personal, you know, studies, and talking with different professionals that I, you know, that I work with about certain things. But yeah, I never did any kind of formal, like inpatient or outpatient therapy or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure because some people do, some people don't.
And that's probably the best. Like I probably should have done that. But.
Did you, were there any, as you got more comfortable, were there people you talked to a lot about it, like more often than the others?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. I'm a pretty much an open book about it now. I make jokes in poor taste about it sometimes that my friends still like aren't totally comfortable with. But yeah, no, I think it just really helps because once you have, you know, people aware and you have support from other people, then you know maybe if you are having a bad day, which still happens for me. You know, there are some days when I wake up and I'm just not feeling it. But when I have a bad day, I don't carry that in anymore. I kind of let it out and share it with everybody else.
Give it away.
Yeah.
Give it away. Give it up. Give it away. Yeah. Give it away now. Yeah. What song is that?
A song.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That's it.
I was going to say Jimi Hendrix. Not close.
So now, what do you personally, like, what do you recommend now for somebody, like, their average day, the everyday person, you know, like, what's your go-to?
Yeah, I think, you know, for anyone who's, you know, out there just trying to find, like, a true, clear message, I think not restricting yourself and, you know, eating lots of fruits and vegetables and maybe trying some different whole grains instead of, you know, white bread or doing lean proteins, fish, you know, chicken, trying to limit your red meat consumption, having, you know, pizza when you want it.
Red meat, yeah.
Having garlic knots when you want it. You know, like cake and cookies are fine. You just can't eat 27 of them every single day. Like,
yeah,
it's all about balance for me because I think the second you start taking those things out of the picture, when they're around, you're going to eat a ton of them. Whereas maybe if you just ate one when you really wanted it, you wouldn't feel like you had to eat it all at one time. So that's a big thing for me too. And really balanced meals, like having protein, fat, and carb with every single meal and snacks if you can, just helps keep your body more satisfied, honestly. Because if you just eat something with carbs, you're going to burn that off in an hour or two and your body's going to be starving again, even mm-hmm. if you ate a ton of it. Like,
yeah.
Like pasta. Like you could eat a ton of pasta, be super full. And 2 hours later, you're kind of like, I'm still hankering for something. So protein takes longer to digest, about 4 hours. Fats take about 9 hours to digest. So putting all of those with your meals really kind of helps keep your body full and satisfied throughout the day without needing extra things.
Like the carbs are the immediate energy. And yep. then you've got the meat, kind of the protein that lasts longer.
Right.
Not necessarily meat, I guess, but protein.
Could be anything, yeah.
Can you explain, like, why your body needs carbs to function for someone who's, like, not been prescribed keto by a doctor?
Yeah. Yeah.
And is thinking about it?
Absolutely, yeah. So you need carbs are your body's main source of fuel. It's your brain's main source of energy. So your body needs carbohydrates to be able to function appropriately. When you deprive yourself of that, yes, your body will start to pull from your fat stores, but it also starts to pull from your protein stores. So you're losing lean muscle mass and you're also decreasing your metabolism in the same process because the more lean muscle mass you have, the more calories you're able to burn during exercise and throughout the day. So whenever you're taking carbs away from that picture, you're also taking away from your protein stores. So
interesting.
Your body needs those carbs.
Yeah, you need them.
You need those carbs. Something else that I always tell people to do too is I love ordering out and I love eating out different places, but I really try to limit it to just like one or two times a week. One, because I have no money and it's expensive. And two, there's just a lot of other things in the food that you eat out sometimes that you don't know about. So it's great to go out and eat, you know, your favorite food sometimes, but it's not something you want to get in the habit of doing every single day.
Well, yeah, and like you said, you're not restricting it. You still get to go out and have fun, but you're doing it.
You still get to do it.
In moderation.
Within reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I went out, so I'm going to stay in tonight.
Yeah.
Kind of mentality.
Yeah.
Oh, man, my phone just fell asleep. Sorry. I can't get comfortable. I'm rolling around on the floor right now.
That's how casual this is.
Yeah.
Downward dog.
You say drink more water.
Yeah.
How much?
I typically do, and I think I might have just made this up in my own head, but I usually do half of my body weight in ounces. And then if I exercise, I do like 20 more ounces on top of that.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
I usually – my
I probably drink like 100 ounces of water a day,
which
is a lot.
I try a lot at work. We just on our floor finally got one of the bottle refilling stations, and I'm hype. I just saw it on Friday. So it's like I got a bottle at my desk. I'm ready to go next week.
Does it count how many water bottles you're saving? Because that's what mine does at work.
Yeah. And it just went in, so it was like it only had like, you saved 6 bottles of water. Like, that's how new it was when I saw it on Friday. Like,
I'm so environmentally friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I know. So
saving
like,
the dolphins.
I drink out of Fiji water bottles, but like, people think I'm bougie, but I literally refill that thing like 8 times a day.
That's I bought a Fiji water bottle the other day and I've held on to that sucker. I'm like, it's huge, first of all. It was $4. I'm never buying another one again, so I'm saving that bottle.
I say that too, but I literally have like probably 15 Fiji water bottles in my car right now.
Do you know those like the cheap little water bottles that are like real crinkly and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I had a coworker who would wash those in his dishwasher.
Angel.
Oh yeah. My God. I don't think that's healthy, though.
No.
How did it not melt?
That's what he didn't have the dryer turned on. So that's what I said to him, though. I was like, you know that the plastics start to break down in those kind really quickly, right? Like,
yeah, that can't be.
I'm surprised it wasn't leaking.
He was probably just trying to be a good person, but that's not safe. He shouldn't do that anymore.
I have.
Or just incredibly cheap. That's like next level.
It was the second one there. But I think he might listen to the podcast.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Brent.
Brent, don't put those in the dishwasher.
No, he can talk shit on me on his podcast then. If he does hear this, I'm not even gonna tell him about it. We'll just see if he mentions it. I have this thing on my computer at work too. It's like an egg timer and it dings every hour, and I'm like full-blown Pavlov's dog. It dings and I'm like, I'm thirsty. Yeah.
Have you guys seen those water bottles with like the colored rings on them that like, as you drink a bottle of water, you like move a ring up, so it like turns into like a game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All the reviews say that like it encourages people to drink more water because you're moving your rings up, and then it's like, oh, look at how much I've drank today.
An act of completion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
which
so funny.
Next week I have to bring back the gallon.
Oh, I've been on it begins.
Gallon game for a while.
Ugh, and like the mouth starts to smell, and I'm like, oh my God.
You're so weird with smells too.
I can't handle them. I'm very weird about smells.
I like never wash my water bottle. That's pretty gross, but there I said
I need to get like water. So everyone at the gym has big water bottles like you do, and
my
then
Nalgene is everything.
They're covered in
$9.99.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll look into it right
APA
now.
APA free
on Amazon.
Message us.
I'm looking it up currently.
Message us if you guys want stickers for your Nalgene bottles.
Yeah, so at the gym, everyone has stickers all over their bottles, and then there I am with my Fiji.
I guess I'm not that cool.
Sorry, that was a tangent.
No, that's fine. I'm looking for more stuff here.
So I did want to say, like, I was saying that I was eating pizza and stuff on this contest prep, and like Katie and Carly are saying, at some point, like aka next week, I'm 10 weeks out. So it turns into a sport now, and I'm going to have to clean everything up because basically when I eat all these foods, I can tell I'm bloated and like inflamed and all that stuff. So there is a point when I do have to dial it in. So I don't want to people to think I'm eating pizza like the whole way up to my show, because you just can't get like shredded on
you can't
pizza.
Do what you want to do with that.
Yeah, yeah. Or else I'd be eating like one pizza a day, which is not for me.
And I think like I said, like I think that's perfectly okay, because for you it's coming from like a healthy place.
Yes.
Like you're not taking it to that extreme where that's your life all of the time.
Yeah.
Like this is for like a specific purpose and this is for your sport. And I think that is totally appropriate.
Yeah, and it's definitely not for everybody, because
I wouldn't be able
yes,
to do it.
There, it yeah. is very like I have to watch what I eat all the time. But yeah, I just wanted to make sure that people weren't thinking that I'm just like eating whatever.
Hash browns.
Yeah. We'll also eat hash browns. All
these hash browns.
She's like, I will find a way to make this work.
Yeah, we'll leave that in. That's I have to start too, and now that it's getting nicer, like I feel like I'm in a haze during the wintertime, because it's just like it's dark out. I don't care. I'm gonna order takeout and watch Netflix. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, oh, the sun's shining. Shit, people can see my shame.
Like, shame.
So, yeah. So it's like, okay, I got to get my shit under control and do what you're saying. You know, okay, fine. I can eat out, but it's like one night a week, these kind of things. Just because ever since I started dating my boyfriend, I've gained 15 pounds.
Love weight. It happens.
What did you call it, Carly? The new relationship 15 instead of the freshman 15.
Yes, the new relationship 15 is real, and it's worse than the freshman 15 in college.
Here it is. Because
you get comfortable with them,
they
and then
still
all
love
you
yeah,
all you do is eat.
Yeah, Scott and I used to go to
drink.
Applebee's 5 times a week, and I put on about 40 pounds.
Dude, I gained weight when I started dating Chris, too, because I was like, oh, yeah, let's go drink Yings and eat wings every day.
Yings and wings.
And so Steven can eat whatever he wants, and he has consistently weighed 143 pounds for his entire life.
Yeah, he's a tiny little nug.
I'm so mad.
I'm like excited.
Like, how can you eat all that and nothing happens to you? Rude.
Yeah, it must have a good metabolism, right?
I would assume. If you only weigh that. He's like, well, actually, I weigh 145 sometimes.
Sometimes.
It's like, get out of here.
Maybe when he doesn't poop in the morning.
Exactly. It's like, you know, it's like you drank the night before or something.
Yeah.
I just bought new meal prep containers on Amazon the other day because I have to dial in my diet. No more Domino's. That's starting next week.
Next Wednesday, my friend Amy's coming over and we're going to like take over my whole kitchen and meal prep. Like, just double everything up so we do it at the same time and, like,
that's the best
hang
way
out.
To do it, yeah. If you pick one day and just, like, kind of plan out what you want for the week, it's so much better when you have stuff, like, in the fridge ready to go so that way you don't come home ravenous mm-hmm. and, like, I have no food, I don't want to make anything. It makes it so much easier to have stuff.
Toss it in the microwave or the oven and call it a day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I have the little containers that's the little thin thing and then the big thing. Mm-hmm. And I used to fill up the big thing with the meat and the little thing with the veggies. I think I'm going to switch that. I'm going to put all the meat in the small part and fill up the other part with veggies. So that way.
It took me a minute to figure out which thing you were talking
little
about.
Thing, I'm like, thing.
Like a little.
In my mind, I'm like the little and the big thing. I'm like, okay, this could be anything.
Sorry, no. I know. The little area of the meal prep container and then the large area of the meal prep container.
Yeah. So I think I got the divider. Like, it's divided by three. And they look like the Chinese takeout containers.
Oh, a bento box.
I'm not sure what it's called. They were cheap.
They
I got
disposable?
20 of them. No.
Oh. Okay.
But I'm excited to dial everything back in because I have been eating like an asshole. Like Chipotle 3 times a week. Domino's.
Well, I mean, from a money perspective, I'm spending so much money at the cafeteria at work.
Yeah.
And the portion sizes, I'm sure, are nowhere near what they need to be, you know. And I'm not afraid to lather it in salad dressing if I get salad. So that's obviously not, you know, within a caloric BMR area. Right.
I think like also like you when you start eating like that, like you almost forget like how good it feels once you are able to like eat really balanced things or things that you made yourself, and even just like how I don't know, like the satisfaction you get from that is just like I don't know, I always feel like so much better when I'm preparing my own stuff and making it, and I don't know, I'm just feel good about that.
Yeah, I always feel stronger when I'm on my my meat prep meals.
If you're eating like, well, cleaner in quotes or whatever, I just perform better in the gym. Like I move mm-hmm. better, I can lift better. So
I always notice my energy's better.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I don't know why. Like last summer when I was doing the thing with the eggs, I would make it the night before. So in the morning I would turn on the stove and like dump the eggs in and just let it do its mm-hmm. thing, essentially just make an omelet. Yeah. Without watching it, because I turned it on low heat. And so that was like nice to do in the morning because I could wake up, turn that on, dump it in, and then like go brush my teeth or whatever. Yeah. I guess
keep
I not
simple.
Brush my teeth, but yeah.
So like last Tuesday, I was deadlifting and I went to lunch at Earth that day. So I don't know if you're familiar with Earth.
Yeah,
it's just salads. But all I had to eat that day before my heavy ass deadlifts was one salad. And I was like feeling weak and I'm like, what the fuck? And then I was thinking about it. And normally I would have 4 meals in at that point. So it's like, this is out of your own stupidity why you're feeling weak.
Because you just had
no
one
carbs,
salad, one meal that day?
One meal.
No meat, just
chicken.
Salad. Oh, still.
Chicken, but it wasn't much. I mean,
just
comparatively, I usually would have had 2 protein shakes, chicken, veggies, rice, oatmeal, eggs, all of that.
Prior to the lift.
Yeah. So it was just out of pure stupidity. But
we can't be perfect all the time.
Yeah.
You know, that's life.
I'm like thinking, oh, I'm so healthy. I'm having a salad. And then I go in the gym and it's like, wow.
Like I can't lift for shit.
Yeah.
Salad is worthless.
Yeah.
No, that's true. And I think like, you know, kind of to circle back, I think like your happiness overall is what matters in your sanity. And I'm sure the day you ate only that one salad, like you would have been so much happier if you would have had, you know, your whole normal spiel and your normal routine. And, you know, I think we all like at some point in time have seen, you know, even on like social media or Instagram, like there's just this constant, like constantly thrown with like pictures in our face of these like beautiful like models and people who look like absolutely perfect. And I think we have to remind ourselves that like those people are at their absolute like perfect angle with the perfect lighting, and they, I'm sure that they've done something to that picture to manipulate it to make it look a different way. Not saying that everybody does that, but you know, at the end of the day, like we're all who we are, and you shouldn't aim to look one certain way. Like all bodies are different, and all bodies, they're beautiful, and that's and that's, you know, that's just life, man. And you know, being thinner is not going to solve any of your other problems. Like when I was super skinny, I was still broke as fuck and I couldn't do it. Like, you know, I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm still like, I'm still thin and I'm still broke, but like this, it's just not the
point. At least you're
like,
happy now, right?
Yeah. Now, yeah. Now I'm like super happy, even though I'm, yeah, life's still not perfect.
Same.
And yeah. And I think like Sam and Carly, like wanting to increase, you know, your fitness level and, you know, attain like, that's like Sam's doing for her, you know, competitions. Like, I think that's awesome. I could never do that. I literally can never do that. I hate lifting. There. It's out for everyone. Everyone can hear it. I think that's like awesome. And, you know, you just because you want to change your body also like doesn't mean you have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because I think there's a lot of messages out there from some people that, and some of them are even dietitians, that like if you want to change the way you look, then you have like this type of disorder, or this type of thing. That's not true. You know, that's, yeah, that's not like a factual thing. Like, sure, maybe some people might actually have like a genuine issue, but not everybody who wants to make changes in their life has problems.
Well, that was after I came out, I was probably like 250 pounds. And so then the act of coming out and like kind of like, oh, I didn't care about my body before because I didn't care about myself. You know what I mean? So, yeah, like, that started it all, and then, like, I lost all this weight over that time. Yeah. You know, it's you just kind of get to that point. You're like, okay, I think it's time to make a change.
And
you
there's
know?
Nothing wrong with that.
Something's got to change. And specifically, my dad weighed 250, but he's a farmer and an electrician. So his arms are, like, the size of my thighs.
Right.
You know, like, and his 250 was way different than my office chair 250. So right, it was like, okay, I need to change this like now.
Yeah. And, you know, I think like kind of to wrap it all up, like one of the best things you can do if you see something on Instagram or online that seems like too good to be true, it probably is. So just try and do your research and look for credible sources. And if you can find like research articles, if you can stand to read them, just, you know, look into things before buying them or putting them in your body, because half the time, some of those supplements that people take, like, you have no idea what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anything. It's not regulated. They don't have to label everything that's in as an ingredient. So it's really like,
they're literally not required to.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't have to.
And you're also, this is what bothers me, is you're buying it from a person that you went to high school with who has no education in that at all. They don't know what they're talking about. They're just getting a pamphlet of information that doesn't say anything about ingredients or anything about what it could do to you, side effects like that.
And it's expensive.
And it's expensive. So you're literally wasting money to hear from somebody that you went to high school with that probably was in this low math class like
that. You're taking a sawdust pill.
Yes.
Right.
That was do you ever watch Last Week Tonight with John Oliver?
No.
He did an episode on supplements, and they reached out to make a supplement, like John Oliver's Very Good Supplement or something like that. And he said the ingredients, and he put ridiculous stuff in it, like chalk and sawdust and all that stuff.
Fillers.
Which is all what is in other supplements, and they wouldn't hit the lawyers wouldn't let him sell it on his website because they're like, no, this is just too shady. Even though it's legal, you know, it's just too shady.
And that's like we said, like it's also expensive, and maybe some of the stuff like might not be harmful, but if it's not beneficial, why are you taking it?
Yeah. Why are you spending $89 a bag on it? Plexus. Yeah. Plexus. <What?
laughs> You've got a weird cough, Sam.
Sounds exactly like Plexus.
Yeah, that's and then 2 years ago I went through a bad breakup and I was down to 175, which is the lowest I've been since even before high school.
Yeah.
You know, before senior year of high school. And it had nothing to do with fitness and everything to do with bad habits. You know, that was a bad low weight.
And like, if you ever have questions about things, like, just try and reach out to like your health professionals. And if you have a doctor, like a lot of dietitians now are covered by people's insurance, and like nutritionist visits are covered now. And find somebody that you like and you want to talk to about it if you have like really specific questions that mm-hmm. the internet is not going to be able to solve for you.
That's something definitely, because of the amount of overwhelming information and things like that, that's yeah. something I would, when we say that all the time to people who listen, to see if therapy is covered by your health insurance.
Right.
Because in my case, it is. I get 20 sessions a year. Sorry, that pizza's coming back.
That's Diet Coke burps.
Round two. Now I'm curious. I should look and see if my plan covers something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Because
yeah.
I don't know. I honestly have never yeah. looked before. So it may well be the same thing. I would meet with them every 2 weeks for 20 sessions a year, you know?
Yeah, which could be like really, really beneficial. I mean, you could also get someone that totally sucks, but you might have to try out a couple different people and see who you like and if you mm-hmm. think it's helpful. Like, that's why we're here. Like, that's why I have a job. Like, you wouldn't go to your next door neighbor to get, you know, your wisdom teeth taken out. Like, mm-hmm. why would you go to your next door neighbor to get advice about things you should be putting in your body?
I'm going
to
start telling people online that they should get their wisdom teeth removed.
Come on over. I'll
weird
do
analogy, yeah, but yeah. yeah. Start charging people. Make them sign a waiver.
Exactly. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, it was awesome to meet you. Awesome to hear everything you do.
Thanks for the pretzel.
Oh, anytime. Anytime. Actually, my dietitian that I'm about to have in the future might not allow it.
Yeah.
In moderation.
In moderation, yeah. Yes. All right. Anything we want to wrap up with?
I don't think so.
Help out the pod. Check out our store, brokentobarbell.com/store. And you can buy some cool shirts, some swag. All of that money goes right back into the podcast that we use to pay for website hosting fees, for upgrades and equipment, for audio hosting fees, things like that. We do not have advertisers, so that's the only way we make money right now. But I'll be honest, we might eventually have advertisers, so
a girl can hope.
Sorry if you're gonna have to listen to like a ZipRecruiter ad in the near future.
Halo top ad.
The Halo top
ad. We're still
ad.
Out here if you're curious.
Halo top. All right, thanks guys.
Bye.
Bye.